Let me just quick make an announcement about the senior activity this coming Tuesday. Seniors, if you haven't had an opportunity to sign up yet and would still like to, please do so this morning. So I know how many people will be there for the food. And thank you, ladies, who responded to my email about desserts. We got plenty, so we got that all taken care of. I'm hoping we have a fun time on Tuesday. We're going to play a couple games. One will be The Price is Right. How many of you have watched that show? Huh? So anyway, I hope it goes good. I'm just making this stuff up on my own. So I went shopping and bought some things, so you're going to have to guess what the price is. And I have some prizes for you, and so I think we'll have a good time, all right? And that's this Tuesday from 1 to about 4 o'clock. And again, we'll have food there, but we're not going to have a full-blown meal or anything like that. So it's between lunch and supper time anyway. So if you're still hungry, you can go home and have a snack after that, all right? All right. Well, let's turn to 1 John chapter 2 and verse 6. Pastor asked me a few weeks ago if I would teach Sunday school. I didn't know if I wanted to or not. And so I thought, well, Lord, yes, I should do it. So I'm doing it for the Lord and for Pastor Schweitzer. I hope he has a good time away visiting with the Renos, who used to attend church here and moved to Tennessee. And their son, Riley, is being ordained today. So praise the Lord for that. I had Riley when he was just a little boy in our Sunday school classes and so forth. And so it's great to see a young man like that go on to serve the Lord and become a pastor. And he's an assistant pastor. And I think Pastor already said that a church is looking to call him as their senior pastor. So praise the Lord for that. Well, a few weeks ago, Pastor referenced this verse in one of his messages. And I thought to myself, The verse is 1 John 2:6, and it says, "He that saith he abideth in him ought himself also so to walk, even as he walked." So I thought to myself, well, how did Jesus walk? That would probably be a good thing to study out in my Bible, looking for ways in which the Lord Jesus Christ walked. And by the way, when we think of somebody, the word walk there has the idea, how did they live? How did they act? How did they think? And so forth. You've probably seen the wristbands WWJD, which means what would Jesus do? Now, I don't have a problem with that. Matter of fact, I'd rather see somebody wearing a T-shirt with WWJD than some famous athlete or some famous musician. Because, after all, who do we want to emulate? We want to emulate our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And I think it's a good idea to think, well, what would Jesus do? Or what would God do? What would God think? What would the Holy Spirit want me to do? I think those are questions that all of us ought to ask when we are going to make a decision or react to something. And by the way, we often react, don't we? To maybe what somebody says or what somebody does, and often we react the wrong way. And so we ought to think before we act, amen? And sometimes we don't think very long and hard, and we react and we do it in a wrong way. Well, I want to be thinking, by the way, more and more about my Lord and Savior than anyone else. I want to emulate Him more than anyone else. So let's look at that word ought there. I think that's an important word. Aren't you glad it doesn't say we must? We're not saved by works, are we? We're saved by grace. Praise the Lord for that. But the word is ought there, and it's an interesting word. By the way, if it said we must, don't we fall short often? Sometimes I realize how I should respond or how I should act or how I should think, and I don't. I miss the mark. And I think all of us would have to admit to that. So the word used here in the English means express obligation. In other words, we ought to pay our debts. Amen? is also used to express advisability. We ought to take care of ourselves. We ought to bathe and brush our teeth. Amen. We ought to exercise and eat right. That's something we ought to do. By the way, this is the temple of the Holy Spirit, and we're to take care of it. We're not to desecrate it. That's why I don't like to see people. I'm sorry. I'll stop right there. I was going to say something, but that could be offensive to some, and I don't mean to be offensive, because we all have done things in the past or whatever that we wish we hadn't done. And so, again, I'll leave that alone. But we ought to take care of ourselves. Natural expectation. He ought to be here by now. Okay? And then also a logical consequence. The result ought to be, if you break it, you what? You fix it, right? Or you bought it. You make it dirty, you clean it, right? That's the expectation there. So the result ought to be these things. Now, the word in the Greek is, if I can say this correctly, a philo. And it's translated in our King James Bible 15 times as the word ought. But interestingly, 7 times that same word is translated oh. That's interesting. O-W-E. The word O. 7 times it means to be bound. 2 times it means to be one's duty. One time to be a debtor, and 1 time to be indebted. Now that's interesting, because Romans 12:1, a very familiar verse to probably most every one of us. Paul says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God. Aren't you glad for the mercies of God this morning? I thank God for His mercy nearly every day. I thank Him for His grace. And it says that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Okay? Think about that. The word ought there has the idea of being owe, or to be bound, or to be one's duty, to be a debtor. Now, the word reasonable is pertaining to reason or logic. So this is a logical thing for us to realize that if we say, by the way, I didn't read the verse yet, 1 John 2:6, he that saith he abideth in him ought himself also so to walk, even as he walked. And so we have an obligation, I believe, to walk like our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the perfect example. I'm glad that we can look to the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the one we ought to be looking to, not to one another. Now, I'm thankful for godly examples, and we can learn from other people's godly example. We can look at them and say, you know, hey, I ought to be a little bit more like them. But the perfect example is our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He never did anything wrong. He was perfect in every aspect. And so we look to Him for our example. So, Psalm 116, verse 12 says, what shall I render unto the Lord for all His benefits toward me? Do you realize we have a lot of benefits? Are you thankful this morning to be a child of God? I think God, by the way, the word benefits there has the idea of acts of grace. Is God gracious? You know, I was thinking of this just a week or so ago. I'm thankful for God's saving grace. Amen? If it wasn't for the grace of God, I wouldn't be saved. Neither would you. We're saved by grace through faith, not of ourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. But I'm also, not only am I thankful for His saving grace, I am thankful for His sustaining grace. Each and every day, I need the grace of God in order to live a life that is pleasing to my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen? I ask Him for grace. I ask Him for grace to pray. What's the Bible say in Romans that we don't even know how to ask as we ought? So I ask, Lord, I'm coming to you in prayer. I ask you, Father, to give me grace in prayer. Help me to pray according to your will and with the things that would please you, because so often, even as James says, we ask things amiss. And I know I often ask amiss. And so I ask the Lord for his grace even in prayer. Now, hopefully we all see we ought to walk as he walked. So let's look at just a few ways this morning on how he walked. And I might open it up a little later for you to maybe give some thoughts how you think the Lord Jesus Christ walked. By the way, this could be a whole series of Sunday school lessons on how he walked, because there's so many different things. But I'm going to just pick out three of them this morning that I thought of and that I thought might be helpful. And also, I think, are some things that just where I need to continue to work on. So let's pray. Father, thank you for this morning. Thank you, Father, that we can gather together to worship you, sing praises unto you. And Father, this is Sunday school hour, so help us to learn. Lord, this is more of a teaching lesson than it is a preaching message. But Lord, I thank you for the power of your word and the power of the Holy Spirit to work in our hearts and lives this morning. Lord, I'm nothing without you. And Father, even as I already said, I need your grace. I need your help. And I'm thankful, Father, you're there to help us and to strengthen us and to empower us to do whatever you want us to do. So, Lord, lead, guide, and direct us this morning as we continue in your word. And Father, I look forward to the Sunday morning message from, I believe, Pastor Bortz will be preaching again as he preached in the morning service. And the Lord, it's just great to be able to be together. May we leave today saying it's been good to be in the house of the Lord. And Father, help us to walk like your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, walked upon the face of this earth, that we might be pleasing to you. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, well, I thought I'd start with one of the first ones here, 1 John 2:7. The next verse, it says, Brethren, I write no new commandment unto you, but an old commandment which ye have heard from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which ye heard from the beginning. Well, what is that commandment? Well, chapter 3, verse 11, I think, gives us an answer. For this is a message you heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. You know, there are certain groups that I think maybe overemphasize love, if that's possible. But the Bible says, God says that we should love one another. Now, I believe we as Christians should love one another. And I know Pastor Schweitzer had taught us in the past the word charity was a Christian word, and the word charity means love. That's among brothers and sisters in Christ. But what does the Bible tell us? We're even to love our what? Our enemies. Do you realize we're going to reach more people and help more people by being loving than by being more like a Brillo pad, maybe you could say, rough and gruff? Isn't the world filled with hate? There's a lot of hatred. I'm thankful there's a lot of good people, kind people, but there's a lot of hatred out there. And boy, what the love needs to see is Christ in us. Amen. The love of Christ in us. That's what they need to see. So the first thing I think we can learn from Jesus as he walked, I believe he walked in love. He loved others. Ephesians 5:2 says, and walk in love, as Christ also has loved us and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. Love as Christ loved us. Well, we could go on and think about that a little bit. How did he love us? He loved us while we were yet sinners. He loved us while we were yet his enemies. He loved the world. That means he loved all the wicked, sinful people that are out there. And by the way, before we were saved, we were very wicked. They said, well, I wasn't that bad. Well, I know some of us maybe didn't get into some of the things that we see others get into, but we are all very possible to do those same things if the circumstances may be right. And so I'm thankful for the way that Christ loved me and how he sacrificed himself for me and gave himself for me. We got to emulate that in others. What does Ephesians 4:32 say? And be ye kind. That's a pretty simple thing, that first part of there. Be kind. Just be kind. Are you kind? Be kind and tenderhearted. Be kind one to another, Ephesians 4:32. Tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. I'm thankful that God has forgiven me on Christ's behalf. And I'm supposed to be the same way. I'm supposed to be kind and tenderhearted. I know some are more tenderhearted than others. It's kind of their nature more so than others. And some people are a little bit more rough. But the Bible does tell us to love and to be kind and to be tenderhearted, even as God for Christ, and to forgive one another, even as God hath forgiven us. So I think we need to treat people like we want to be treated. It says in Galatians 5:14, for all the law is fulfilled in one word, even this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. You know, I often thought of that. Do you ever like when somebody holds the door for you? Isn't that a kind thing to do? Just a simple act like that. Just the other day, I was coming out of, I won't tell you where I was coming out of. No, I can't tell you. Panera Bread, okay? I was in for my morning coffee. And as I was coming out, a gentleman and a lady came in and he held the door and I said, go ahead. And he goes, no, after you. And you know, it just made my day. And I thought, boy, how kind, how nice. And I try to do that, hold the door for people. But, also, have you ever been trying to pull out of maybe a parking lot or something like that, and a lot of traffic, and somebody in traffic stays back and waves you in? Isn't that a nice thing to do? It's very nice. And I usually do that, too, except for when I'm in a hurry, right? We need to slow down, be kind, and, by the way, doesn't that, when somebody does something like that for you, doesn't that sometimes encourage you to do the same thing? Can you imagine how things would be if we as Christians would just show more kindness and gentleness and so forth to people? Do you think we'd set an example? Of course we would. Because I believe that kindness can be kind of contagious. It carries on over to other people. And there's many examples we could give for that, but we need to treat other people like we would want to be treated. We need to do that. Now, also, listen to what Paul tells Timothy. This is another familiar verse here. If you want to, turn to 2 Timothy 2:24. Let's just look at this together. Of course, Paul is talking to Timothy, a young preacher, young pastor. And he says in 2 Timothy 2:24, he says, and the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient. Well, there's that word patient. We don't like that word, do we? Like I said, I usually let people out when I'm not in a hurry. You know, we need to learn just to be patient. You let somebody out and I'm preaching to myself now. What? You might be 30 seconds later than what you would have if you hadn't left them out. And so we need to be patient. And look at verse 25. In meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth. I think that also has the idea there. We need to be patient with the lost people. That God would give them repentance. Or even a saved person. You know, by the way, repentance isn't just something we do, change our mind, and then we get saved. We believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. I think repentance is something we can do every single day. Sometimes our thoughts are wrong and they need to change. Amen? We need to repent of that thought. We need to repent of that. We need change. And it says, verse 26, then that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil who are taken captive by him at his will. You know, it's another thing I remember Pastor Schweitzer saying. We have to remember this. The devil is controlling a lot of people. And what we shouldn't do is get mad at other people. We ought to see them as taken captive by Satan. Okay? The lost ought to think that way. So, the first point this morning, how did Jesus walk? I believe Jesus walked in love. Amen? And each and every one of us ought to love. Now, I'm not talking about compromising the truth. I'm talking about a genuine love for people and a genuine love for Christ and walking like He walked. Okay? When something needed to be confronted, Jesus confronted it. Amen? I mean, we think of the story when he went in and overthrew the money changers' tables and so forth, and he made a scourge, a whip, and drove them out. You know, Jesus Christ was no wimp, amen. You know, there are times when we need to be firm and maybe even seem unkind, but love ought to be behind all of it. You know, the Bible says if you love your children, you'll do what? You'll chasten them. Jesus, God, loves us, and He will chasten us when we do wrong. But never forget, He loves us, and we ought to love others. Second thing I saw, thought of, and if you want to, turn to Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2, verse 1. I believe Jesus not only walked in love, I believe He walked humbly. I believe you and I need to walk in humility. It says in Philippians 2, verse 1, if there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any vows of mercies, fulfill ye my joy that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind, and have this phrase underlined, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory. We're going to talk about strife in the next point. But it says, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. What is that lowliness of mind? That's humility. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Look what it says here. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. So how do you walk? Well, this is how Christ thought. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. What's that telling us? Jesus is God. Almighty, all-knowing, omnipresent, eternal God. But made of himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself. So that's what we need to do. If we want to walk like Jesus, we need to humble ourselves. And he became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. I can't think of anything more humiliating than going to the cross. Here he is, God, who has all power. And he laid down his life for you and for me. Stripped of all his clothing, beaten, suffered. Think about the shame. Here he is, righteous God, and he's taken upon himself the sin of the world. He who knew no sin became sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. I cannot think of anything more humiliating for our Savior to do. He humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Now, humility. I think this is so important because in Proverbs 13:10, I remember thinking of this verse some years ago, and it says this, Proverbs 13:10a says, "Only by pride cometh contention." Do you hear that verse? Only by pride cometh contention. If there's any kind of contention between you and another person, what's present? Pride. I remember one time arguing over whether or not orange juice had sugar in it or not. Now, I knew I was, at least I thought I was right. Is it? And it was with my brother-in-law. He worked at, years ago, at a dairy, and he said, "They put sugar in orange juice." I said, "No, they don't." And we argued over that. Now, we're good friends. We weren't mad at each other, but what was that? Pride. And, you know, there was one other thing we argued over, too. But, by the way, when there's argument like that, there's pride involved in it. Well, isn't pride something that just kind of comes up just like that? Have you ever been driving along and somebody wants to pass you and you speed up? How many of you have ever done that? Raise your hand. So I wanted to pass you and you sped up. Come on. What is that? It's pride. You don't want them to get in front of you. You see, only by pride cometh contention. So let me just encourage you, if you have aught between anybody else, swallow your pride, go to them and apologize, and get right with God. Okay? I don't care who it is, a family member, a friend, a neighbor. You know, I know some Christian people that don't get along with their neighbors. What kind of testimony is that? Because of pride, there's contention there. Only by pride cometh contention. James 4:1 says, let's turn there, James chapter 4 and verse 1. And by the way, I'm guilty of these things. I'm not saying that I don't do these things. I'm the one who, I remember years ago, coming down 272 where the Redner's Quick Market is. There used to be a Redner's grocery store there, full-blown grocery store. Now it's just a little quick shop. And I was a lot younger then, but somebody wanted to pass me, and I sped up. Well, guess what happened? That caused a lot of contention. He pulled in after me and, you know, wasn't too happy. Well, you know, it was my pride that just didn't let him go. You see how that works? You hear road rage? It happens because two people are proud. You know, that's the thing. You know, if you would swallow your pride and let them have their pride, let them go, everything be okay. Amen? But pride. Now, James chapter 4, verse 1. From whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence even of your lusts, which war in your members? You see, that lust there can be different things, but often pride is, I want things my way. And we've got to swallow that pride and say, you know what? Let that other person have their way. And when you do that, you avoid contention. James chapter 4, verse 6 says, but God giveth more grace. Boy, don't we need that? I need more grace. I thank God for His grace. But He says, but God giveth more grace, wherefore He saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. So, my second point is, and I'm running out of time fast. I didn't think I'd have enough information here this morning. But anyway, pride. Let's swallow our pride and let's walk in humility like Christ walked. Okay? If there's contention there, if there's a problem, swallow your pride. Because that's what it is. That's what the cause of it is. There may be hurt and so forth there too. There might be some other things, but there's definitely pride. Third thing and last thing, and I'll hurry on. I get about maybe 5 minutes and I got to quit. And I believe that he walked with compassion. What is compassion? To feel sympathy, to pity. Some people are very compassionate and others aren't. You know, I'm not a super compassionate person. But if I get sick and I feel miserable, then I think of my brothers and sisters in Christ who are sick all the time. And I think, oh my, I can't imagine living like that. You know, Christ had compassion. Why? Because He knows how we feel. You know, us human beings don't, if somebody could tell me you're not feeling well, I don't know how you feel. But Christ does. I believe He walked in compassion. Mark 1:41 says, and Jesus, moved with compassion, put forth His hand and touched him and saith unto him, I will, be thou clean. He was sympathetic, existing or operating through an affinity or mutual association, a sensitivity. Now, why is that? Well, it says in Hebrews 2:17, wherefore, in all things it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren. Listen to this, that he might be merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. For in that he himself has suffered being tempted, he is able to succor, that is, to aid, to relieve, to help them that are tempted. So you see, he became a man, and he knows exactly what we're going through. He was tempted in all points like we are, yet without sin. And then what's he say in Hebrews 4:15? It says, for we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, which means he is touched with the feelings of our infirmities. He knows the weaknesses of the flesh. But was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Then he says, verse 16, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Listen, we need to be compassionate like our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ was compassionate. He knows how we feel. He knows what we go through. He has an affinity to us because He became man. He was the God-man, 100% God and 100% man. Don't try to figure that out. You're not going to do it. You know, there's a number of things about God that we can't understand. You know why that is? Because we don't have an infinite mind like He does. And there's just some things we have to take God's word by faith. Jesus Christ was 100% man. He knows how we feel. He knows what we go through. He was 100% God. He knows everything. Listen, Jesus cares, folks, and you and I ought to care. Let me just give you a couple of verses yet, and I'm done. It says in Matthew 9:36, but when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep, having no shepherd. I'm thankful for Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Listen, He knows. It says in Jude 1:22, and some have compassion, making a difference. Walk in love, folks. Walk in humility. Walk compassionately. And maybe I can encourage you to study some more things out as we started off in 1 John 2:26. Says, He that saith he abideth in him ought himself also so to walk, even as he walked. Let's walk. Let's ask God for more grace to walk like Jesus Christ walked. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this time that we had this morning in your word. And Lord, help us to walk like your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Help us to be loving. Help us to be humble. Help us to be compassionate. And there's so much more. I love you, Lord. Thank you that we can be together today. May you bless the next service. May we learn from the preaching of your word today. In Jesus' name, amen.